The content of school textbooks is under very close scrutiny. This week in a federal court in Cobb County, Georgia, lawyers are arguing about a sticker in a biology textbook and whether it violates the separation of church and state. The sticker says that evolution is a theory, not a fact. And last week, the Texas State Board of Education asked publishers to change their health textbooks to describe marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Commentator and public school teacher Emily Wiley says that students pay very close attention to what's in their textbooks and don't often question it. So the text of a textbook really matters.
Kids will tell you that they hate their textbooks, but it's not true. They are secretly devoted to them. My students seem to be some of East Harlem's most vocal social critics and rebels. In reality, they worship their textbooks. This makes sense. Young people want desperately to know things for sure. They style themselves as challengers to a corrupt establishment, but most teenagers are secretly quite happy with their noses in a textbook, sucking up information without much pause for analysis. Even my students, raised up by urban parents to have a healthy distrust of power, still see most authors as synonymous with authority. Given a printed text, they bow right down. It takes a long time to train them out of this. I try. As a teacher, I spend at least half of my planning time choosing texts to put in front of my kids. And the rest of my time, I'm thinking up ways to get them to question, criticize, and possibly disagree with those texts. Finding the right film, article, essay, and yes, textbook, is incredibly important, because I know that kids tend to swallow whatever I put before them, whole and as gospel. When I succeed in finding good, messy readings, a juicy pairing of experts' arguments, say, or a pile of different quotations on one subject, as often as not, my students grumble. They much prefer a single authoritative view. Ask any teacher teaching Huckleberry Finn, and they'll tell you how hard it is to get young people to question the authority of the things they read. My 11th graders started the book this week, and we're right in the quicksand now, realizing that Huck might not be the most reliable of narrators. They're uncomfortable with this odd, authority-less book, with Twain's tendency to poke fun at even the sympathetic characters. And they want me to tell them who to like and who to dislike, who is good and who is bad. Even my seniors want to know things for sure and have a hard time questioning the text. They want to know definitively what Euripides meant by having Medea seem to win at the end of the play, or whether Hamlet actually goes mad or is just pretending. Of course, any good teacher does what I do, encourages kids to question the text and form their own opinions. But I know I'm working against their underlying panic. Swimming in the seas of adolescence, students are looking to pull up on anything that looks like solid ground, like truth. I bet about half the time I succeed in getting them to keep swimming, to form their own opinions. It reminds me of something my father once told me, that sometimes a textbook can elevate your thoughts if you place it on your chair properly. But to get them there, I'll have to keep pushing them back into deep water and force them to use their own wisdom, not swallow others.
Emily Wiley teaches at the Young Women's Leadership School. It's a public school in New York City.